Or live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss, and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who have suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message has been, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. This show is brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, and you can download it by going to our blog, thegriefblog.com. And if you're listening to our Thursday live internet show today, you can join Heidi, me, and our guests by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792, with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. You can also email us questions when you see, look on our blog and see in advance who our guests are going to be. You can email us questions for our guests on the show. Remember, these shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the compassionatefriend.org website. And all shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and for your friends who don't have computers, we have transcripts of these shows that you can download and make a printed copy and give to a friend. Well, and we've got a great guest coming on today, don't we, Heidi?
Yes, we do, and she's been in the field for many years and has a great amount of experience.
Yeah, it's Robin Goodman, and she's an author, a psychotherapist, and director of A Caring Hand, the Billy Esposito Bereavement Center. We'll talk about it if I got the name correctly, and it's in Manhattan. But before we introduce our guest, Heidi, I wanted to talk a little bit about the grief blog. We've got one of our last poems on. We had such a great poetry contest that was wonderful, and one of the things that we told folks is that we would put everybody's poem on the blog. So we've been carrying on with that. I think we have a couple more left, but we're looking forward next year to having another contest. So write your poetry and keep it for us.
Yeah, I love poetry because it's, like we said before, it's so powerful, and it speaks from the heart, and it says so much in few words.
Right. Well, it's our summertime now, and we know vacation can be a big issue for everyone, can't it, Heidi?
Absolutely, because sometimes when you go away, it makes you think about your sibling or your child that's died, and it brings up a lot of feelings of loss.
Yeah, or a spouse, and sometimes people will try new areas, which can be helpful, and then you go to the old areas, sometimes you all those memories come up. And I remember going away the first year with Scott, and we went to where we'd been, and there was a lot of kind of yearning and searching and looking. And so then we went someplace we'd never been before, and I really found it a pretty profound release. Remember when we went to Chautauqua, Heidi?
Yes, and it was a completely different experience, so you didn't have those past memories of being there with him.
Yeah, so you might try a little time out in some place you've never been.
Well, also, whenever you go on vacation, there's a lot of children running around. If you go to Disney World or the beach, and so it reminds you of people that you've lost.
Absolutely.
Children.
Yep. Another thing I wanted to remind you of is that the Compassionate Friends National Conference is in Nashville this weekend. Nashville, Tennessee. Heidi and I are going to go there. We're both going to be presenting. I'm going to present on Will I Ever Be Happy Again, some new psychology information. And Heidi and I are going to present on our book, Children's Grief, Helping Parents. And Heidi, what are you presenting? You're presenting with teens, right?
I'm presenting, other than the teen grief relief workshop that I'm presenting with you, I'm presenting a few workshops for siblings, an adult workshop for adult bereaved siblings, and a teen workshop for teens that are bereaved. And I'm also going to be part of a panel talking about sibling loss,
which I'm going to moderate for professionals. One of the things that we'll talk about next week and put on the blog is that usually they're taping these things now, so you will actually be able to access some of those tapes. I think Compassionate Friends website will have them, and we'll see if they've taped our sessions. And if so, you'll be able to access those. Well, Heidi, things are really looking good on the blog. People are really answering, logging in, and helping each other. It's really fantastic, the comments, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And it's very powerful and heart-wrenching, too.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a wonderful article on the blog right now about a group of people who have gone to Arlington Cemetery to honor their children who died in Iraq, so and family members. So you might want to go on the blog and read about that or tell a friend about it. Well, Heidi, we've got a full show today, so would you like to introduce our guest?
Sure, I'd be honored to. As you said, Mom, our guest today is Dr. Robin F. Goodman, and our topic is caring for kids after trauma and death. Dr. Robin Goodman is in private practice in New York City, as well as being director of A Caring Hand, the Billy Esposito Bereavement Center, a child and family bereavement center in Manhattan. She has made hundreds of appearances on national and local television, including The Today Show, ABC Primetime, and Oprah, and is frequently quoted in the media. Dr. Goodman's book credits include The Day Our World Changed, Children's Art of 9/11, Turbulent Times, Prophetic Dreams, Art from Israeli and Palestinian Children, and Childhood Revealed, Art Expressing Pain, Discovery, and Hope. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
We're so great to have you on the show. Did I say the name correct? How do you say the Billy
Yes, A Caring Hand, the Billy Esposito Bereavement Center that was started by a fabulous, you know, young lady, Susan Esposito Lombardo, after her dad died. So, you know, as you both know, out of your own personal pain sometimes comes tremendous strength and the kind of mission to help other people.
Now, Robin, how did you get into this area and get involved with the foundation?
For a long time in my career, I've worked with medically ill children and families, and then have done a lot of bereavement work and a lot of 9/11 work with a colleague, Lisa Brown, and helped the families with the firefighters and the Port Authority and the police, the EMS, and fell into a place that was wanting to start a bereavement center in Manhattan because there isn't one, surprisingly enough.
That's always amazed me, Robin, I've got to tell you. And I've been on the Internet many, many times going, there's got to be a bereavement center here. And there wasn't until now.
Right. You know, unfortunately, before this, they were bereaved families might, you know, need to, if they wanted services, go to back to a hospital where the person died or to a mental health clinic, both of which you can imagine are, you know, off-putting or stigmatizing or just incredibly difficult and traumatic to go back to, you know, those places or to feel like there's something wrong with you. So this really is the only place in Manhattan that this is all we do. This is, you know, and it's for people to be together and help each other as well as to get some real skills and learn how to go through this because, you know, people feel like they should know how to do it or think there's something wrong if they're not, you know, quote-unquote, doing it right, but they've never done it before. You know, they haven't been bereaved. So, you know, there are things you can learn from other people and from, you know, staff and volunteers that want to help you to kind of show you the way and make it easier, hopefully, to live with it, you know, for the rest of your life.
And one of the amazing things about the Billy Esposito Foundation is your services are free.
Right. We are, you know, funded to be able to provide the group services. We have, you know, support groups for kids and their caregivers for children age 3 to 18. And they come, we have an 8-week program, and then we have a drop-in program after that. And, you know, for 8 weeks, they come and have pizza as families together, and then the adults go off in their room and, you know, talk and help each other. And then the kids and teenagers go off in their separate rooms, divided by age, and kind of help each other and, you know, really get to the work, but sometimes the fun of dealing with kind of grief, and then the adults have their time. Sometimes the adults are happy that their children are somehow being taken care of and getting what they need, and, you know, the children are sometimes relieved that their parents are getting help.
And then also they can talk about how they really feel and not feel like they have to be strong for the other.
Right, right. And it's not a secret. Everybody knows why they're here, and, you know, you can kind of let your hair down and you don't have to pretend because everybody here understands, even if it's not exactly the same, they all, you know, are speaking the same language and understand that this is a pretty significant thing in their life that they want help with.
And now, Billy Esposito died, I'm sorry, Mom, Billy Esposito died in the World Trade Center, is that correct?
Right, he died on 9/11 at Cantor Fitzgerald, and Susan started this foundation. And
now, this was her
her
Billy
dad.
Was her dad.
Yeah,
okay.
Billy was her dad, and she's done this incredible job of, you know, saying we need to do something, and she did it. Started by, you know, giving grants to other bereavement centers, and actually we also provide scholarships, educational scholarships for kids with financial needs that are bereaved for any reason. And then when she realized there was no bereavement center in Manhattan, said, you know, I want to change that, and she has. So it's really just incredible that we're open and seeing families.
That's great. Now, how long have you been in existence then?
We just opened our doors in this past January, and I've been seeing families since the doors opened.
That's great, and it's not for profit. I can imagine you're going to have quite a flow when people really, you know, get the word out about this. This is an amazing thing. Now, is it basically for families who've lost a dad or kids who've lost a sibling, or how does that go?
You know, as long as there's a child that's bereaved. So it could be a child who it's their sibling, their parent, you know, a best friend or a grandparent or, you know, an uncle. We've had all of those situations.
And it can be adult children, right?
If there was another child, so if it was an adult child and then there was a child under 18 that was a sibling, could, you know, would be here with a caregiver, because we also think it's so important for caregivers to parents to understand what's going on for their children and their
And the primary caregiver is so important, because in some families the grandparents are the primary caregiver.
Right. Right, right, exactly. And, you know, you want it to be about the whole family kind of evolving and moving along on this journey, not the kids by themselves or not the, you know, parents by themselves. It's so everybody has a shared way of communicating and talking and remembering, you know, the person that died, and can kind of have some skills together.
Well, when we come back from break, there's some wonderful information you have. I've found it very interesting on understanding the myths of grief and children, and I want to go into that and look at that. And as we go on with the show, I also want to talk to you about children's art and about how our folks out there can help their children maybe through art or understanding, understanding the myths, and also some of the artistic creative things that families might do.
Sure.
So I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and it's time for our first break with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart, and our guest today is Robin F. Goodman. You can download these shows on, by going to thegriefblog.com. Remember, they're archived on there 24/7, so you can listen to them at any time, and you can also download them on iTunes. Please stay tuned for more on Caring for Kids After Trauma and Death.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on PCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Dr. Robin Goodman about caring for kids after trauma and death. Dr. Goodman is in private practice in New York City and director of A Caring Hand, the Billy Esposito Bereavement Center, a child and bereavement center in Manhattan. Robin has made hundreds of appearances on national and local television and written several books, including The Day Our World Changed, Children's Art of 9/11. Welcome back to the show, Robin and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Robin, when we went to break, I was saying that I really wanted to talk a little bit about a handout that you have. Mm-hmm. It's actually on the Internet, right, if people want to go to the Billy Esposito Foundation. Is it on there?
If it's not, they can just email me and
okay.
Get back to them.
What's your email address?
Robin Goodman, RobinGoodman, @acaringhand.org.
Great. And we'll also have, you can email us and we'll give you that website again if you need it. I want to talk about the myths of grief. You had some really interesting myths of grief, kind of 8 myths of grief. Let's talk about them.
Sure.
One of them that came up was children only grieve for a short time.
Right.
What about that?
Right. You know, children, teenagers, and adults are constantly growing and changing and having new experiences. You know, when somebody dies, they don't come back. But as their life as the grieving child's life changes, new things are happening. So, a 4-year-old that maybe doesn't have a lot of memories or questions when they are 9 or 15 have new ones and start to make sense of different things about, do I, look like mom or dad, or if my older brother was still here, what would we be doing? And, I've had kids that were school age and then all of a sudden they're 16 and going to buy their first car, and then it hits them that if my dad was here, he'd be taking me to buy my first car, and I'd ask him what to do.
So we kind of reprocess it. I think it's a good time to bring in an email that we got on the Internet from Stan, because I think it'll be some good information for comment on exactly what you're talking about. Stan says, I thought my 12-year-old son Rick was doing well since his mother died 2 years ago, but when I told him I was going to take a female friend to a movie, he went ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up calling and telling her I couldn't go.
Right.
I'm not sure how to handle this. Do you or your guest have any suggestions, or do I just not tell him next time?
Well, it's a couple of things there. I think it's, clearly it was one of those situations where there were all those feelings that maybe are still kind of lingering around, and now kind of there was something that triggered, those feelings of kind of extreme, loss and...
I'm thinking it's been 2 years, so
right.
Stan's thinking he's doing really well.
Right. Well,
he's over it. Or,
yeah, because he didn't have to, his son didn't have to deal with this issue, but now the thought of possibly, is mom being replaced in your life and in my life? And I think, a couple things. One is it's a it's a great time to sit down and have some talking about that in terms of, you know, what it really means in terms of, you know, your mother is always your mother. And that's different than having somebody new in my life. But, you know, Dad also probably needs to think about when do you introduce someone new to a child.
And how do you do it? Maybe introducing her to him before he says, I'm taking her to a movie, taking this strange person we don't know to a
movie.
Right,
or possibly, you know, Dad may meet or date lots of people, but until it's somebody that may be more important to him, you know, it doesn't need to be shared necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now is a great time to really talk about what it means to kind of keep going on in your life, and that having someone new in your life is different than replacing someone.
Right.
Or
and
being disloyal to someone.
Yeah, and also I wanted to say to Stan, your son is 12 years old. He himself is going into puberty, so he is making some changes too.
And I also wanted to say one more thing. I've noticed when I work with children, one of their additional concerns is, will there be enough time left for me now?
Sure.
If a new person comes in.
Sure.
So
or will I be
or
does that mean I can be replaced? You know, is easy to kind of just, you know, love someone else again? And so those are, you know, those are tough things. But again, it's when, you know, it's at a different age, there's and different situations, you know, those grief issues just come up in new forms.
And it brings the reality back, even though on some level you know that the person is permanently gone, when you're, you know, when your parents start dating, it brings the reality back, wow,
right.
My mom or dad is never coming back. This is forever. They're gone.
Right, and it means, you know, another change, you know, and something else I have to deal with, and I was just getting used to it this way, or, I don't want to go through anything again, or I don't want to lose my dad to someone else.
So we can see that constant processing and changing.
Sure.
Well, Stan, thank you so much for that email. That's a really important issue, and we appreciate your sending that in to us. We have another email because I was looking at your myths of grief, and then I was looking at the emails, and I was kind of matching them up a little bit. And I think this is really interesting because your fourth myth of grief is that children are too young to understand death. Oh, infants and toddlers. Well, anyway, children are too young to understand death, too young to grieve and mourn or whatever.
Right.
And we have an email from a Ruby, and Ruby says, my daughter and son-in-law were killed in an earthquake and left a 4-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
As it so happens, I have a 6-year-old son, and so my husband and I decided to raise our grandson.
Mm.
I feel bad because it has been 6 months, and he keeps asking where his mommy is.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm grieving, too, and I just don't know what to say to him. Do you have any advice?
Mm. Oh, well, you know, just thank you to these wonderful, you know, grandparents. What a fortunate, you know, 4-year-old to kind of have a family and, you know, in such a tragic time. You know, what's tough is that 4-year-olds can only understand so much, and that it's the experience. So, you know, that question will come up again and again because, you know, often for a 4-year-old, if they see the person, you know, they're here, and when they don't quite know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's the ongoing experience and their ability to understand. So, you know, when...
But they are grieving, right?
But they're grieving in terms of something is different, something is missing, something's not the way it used to be. And they want to, you know, get things back to the way they are. And that's how they show feeling upset or feeling disorganized or feeling unsafe.
And not being potty trained or anymore or, you know, having some accidents or things like that.
Oh, sure, you might see, you know, regression and, you know, because it's like the stability is kind of gone. And so, you know, what these, you know, grandparents have done is really put in that stability, put in the predictability, answer questions, but realize that, you know, they will have to keep answering those questions because at 4, you don't understand that somebody is gone forever. And so the other thing is you just have to reassure a 4-year-old that I'm here for you, let them know where you're going to be, when you're going to come back to help develop that sense of safety again as they're kind of
And I was glad to see that Ruby said she knows she's grieving too because she needs some support too. She's lost a child.
Right, right.
And a son-in-law.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, the children need to know that their world is, like you said, Robin, still a safe, predictable place.
Right. Right. And it's that actual behavior, because at four, it's how the people are behaving and acting around them, not just what they're saying to them. So the words can only go so far with a four-year-old in terms of getting them to understand that very complex idea about death, which the whole meaning of it doesn't come until you're about 8, 9, or 10. So it's actually showing with your behavior, you know, loving and being, you know, having structure and predictability that helps.
On that note, too, Ruby, I would suggest that you get help. You know, as far as maybe cleaning or what, some, you know, ask people, neighbors and people to help you, because if you're more relaxed and can spend more relaxed time with the children, you're going to feel a lot better and they're going to see a lot more hope.
And don't be afraid about talking about the parents. You know, you may think it's going to just provoke more questions, but the reality is the questions are already there. So you want to make sure that you keep the memory of who these people are, you know, alive for, you know, this little person. And, you know, as time goes on, help kind of create those memories and an identity of who those parents were. As hard as though that might also be for Ruby.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the email, Ruby, and good luck with everything you're doing. Robin, there was one other thing I want to talk about before we go to break on the myths, is how some kids become parentified and over-responsible.
Yes.
Particularly if a spouse dies.
Right. It's so hard, and it's, you know, it almost happens without knowing and realizing sometimes, because when a spouse dies, you often go from a two-parent situation to a single parent, and, you know, just the stress of, there's only so many hours of the day. So you do, you know, reach for that help wherever you can get it, and often it's the children or the oldest child. And children also want to relieve their parent. They see them stressed. And so it's, you know, it's a tough mixture of, you know, now kids feeling like they should step up to the plate and be more responsible and be perfect and not cause any problems and be the, you know, man of the house and
or the
mother of the house and take care of, you know, the siblings.
Or maybe even over work in school.
Right.
Get even better grades or whatever, to be perfect all around.
Right. And it's, you know, and it's a burden. So, you know, there's times when you have to really step back and say, I need to let them be kids. Unfortunately, the other thing can happen, too. It's like, it was my fault this happened. And you see kids, you know, the perfect child syndrome and the bad child syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was bad. I need to be punished. If I was better, this wouldn't have happened. And
so
then,
that magical thinking.
Yeah, thinking, oh, it was my fault. And then acting bad because you think you're bad. And so, you know, what's in the minds of these little people is sometimes hard to figure out just by their behavior until you kind of step back or kind of look for some information or talk.
That's why communication, groups, talking to other parents, asking another parent who has a child your child's age that you admire the way they're raising them, telling them what's happened and asking them, you know, what they think. Does that sound normal? You know, those kinds of things can be really, really good things to reach out.
Like you said, Mom, I think that's why groups are so powerful, which is why I love what they're doing at the Billy Esposito Center with these groups.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you get to check in.
Right. Well, it's time for us to go to break now. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Our guest today is Robin F. Goodman, and we're talking about caring for kids after trauma and death. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular 2-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
Who are we?
What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Dr. Robin Goodman about caring for kids after trauma and death. Welcome back to the show, Robin and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Robin, when we went to break, we were talking about some of your myths of grief, and we were talking about overly parentified kids, and there's a last email I wanted to cover, and then I want to go on and talk a little bit about your work with art, artistic drawing and painting. I was thinking they might think it was person art. Anyway, so this email's from Susan. I'm an 18-year-old, and my brother Jeff, who was 16, died of an accidental overdose several months ago. I'm concerned that my parents are going to get divorced. Dad seems so sad, and my mom has just thrown herself into her art projects. I feel like I'm the only bright spot in their life. I don't know how I can go to college in the fall. I'm really angry. I hate feeling responsible for my parents. That was Jeff's job.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is, you know, fits right in with what we were just talking about. It's so, you know, siblings have such a, you know, tough time when, imagine going from having a sibling to now being an only child and being there, and who do you share it with? I mean, you know, certainly one thing is, you know, I hope she can, you know, find some help to kind of talk through this and get outside, you know, so that there's a support for her. And then what, you know, you see sometimes is that you can't really grieve for someone else. You can help people and be there, but everybody needs to do their own work, you know, sometimes. And, you know, if this just happened, it's so hard to know what's going to be down the road. I think one of the things that may be happening here, too, is with something we talk about, which is traumatic grief. And when there's something that was sudden, you're dealing with all of the shock and the trauma of it as well. And sometimes the stigma and the unanswered questions and, you know, the guilt. So it can be much, much harder for, you know, parents and teenagers to manage, you know, their grief because they're also dealing with, you know, that trauma and just, you know, that shock of being totally overwhelmed at the same time.
Well, Heidi and I have seen that at Compassionate Friends, haven't we, Heidi, where kids who are only children talk about their difficulty of leaving home and going to college.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and just the fact that, like you said, they don't want to, like this email says, she's worried about leaving her parents who are grieving. I'm glad that her mother's doing some artwork, I mean, and trying to heal through her art. I think that's a good sign. But it is. It's hard for parents to, some parents, to let go of that last child at home.
Right, and that can be, you know, feel like a lot of pressure and a tremendous, you know, burden. But,
you know, she'll have to talk to him, Susan. I would suggest that you talk to your parents, maybe even a guidance counselor at your school, if you're just finishing up, you're 18, and try to get some clarity on this because the reality is you can stay home for a semester if you want to, you know, or maybe you can. Yeah, I don't know where you're going to school, so you need to look into what your options are, too. Yeah,
sure.
And I think exploring that in a realistic way can be helpful.
And
Robin,
also, if she wants to go away to school, Mom, she may need someone to meet with her. She may need to meet with her someone to meet with her parents to say, you know what, we need to find out a way to somehow let her go.
Yeah, because this is the reality.
And, Yeah, and individuating and separating is a normal thing to do at 18 years old.
Right, that's what's tough, to keep those normal experiences kind of going. It's almost like you have to go on two tracks at the same time. One is the grieving track, and one is the staying engaged in life track. And, you know, you do those at the same time, as hard as it is. But it's necessary. But, you know, in terms of life keeps going, but they're also all at different stages in their life. And it's, you know, what it's like for the parents is very different than what it's like for, you know, and, you know, an 18-year-old. Maybe they just all need somebody to help talk them through it.
So Robin, I like that idea that we need to stay on two tracks, the grief track and the staying on life track.
Right.
And that's the challenge.
And particularly for kids, because they have to go to school and they have to do these things. They don't have choices.
Right, and, you know, you want to be careful about getting too stuck. And we know with grief you can't go around it, you can't go under it, you have to go through it. And same thing with, you know, life events and life tasks, is that you need to go through them and keep going.
Right. Susan, thank you so much for your email, and I love your writing, and we're going to have a teen grief blog, and I would be very happy to have you write for the blog, and we'll be emailing her about that. And any teens out there or parents who are listening who are interested in having their kids write for our teen grief blog, we'll be having that up probably in about a month through our Open to Hope Foundation. Well, Robin, I wanted to hit another thing on your myths of grief, because I think it's important. This is a myth. Brief children grow up to be maladjusted adults.
That's a good myth. I like that, because it's every parent's biggest fear.
Right. And, you know, it's not true. it just really isn't. But, you know, there is that fear that, you know, there's something terribly wrong or something will go wrong. I think parents should think that they can help their kids, but that there isn't something, you know, they're not damaged, they're not, you know, hurt beyond repair, and there isn't some, you know, terrible flaw. It's helpful to see it as an experience that they need to integrate into their life. They need to not keep a secret. They need to face it. And, you know, there's now this great area of, you know, literature and research that talks about things like post-traumatic growth, and that in fact you can sometimes, you know, really do amazing things and learn things about yourself and find meaning in your life because of these experiences. You know, they can hurt terribly, but sometimes there's people that actually, not only did they survive, we have a, you know, teen here recently that said, "I didn't just survive, I thrived." You learn about yourself, you learn about people, you learn about meaning. Sometimes I think they feel like they get mature too fast, or they learn things they wish they didn't, but or that they're different from friends who haven't gone through this. But adults and kids really can be changed by the experience in really positive ways as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that also. We had the folks that did the post-traumatic growth out of UNC on the show, and I know you've done a lot of research around this area, and I love seeing the positive aspects that come out of children after a loss. I mean, a loss can define your life, but it will not destroy your life. And it's so important for parents to hear that.
Right.
And in many ways, your kids will be more mature. They'll appreciate life more. They won't take things for granted. I mean, they will grow in ways you never imagined after this.
However, there can be some rough times.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you can, you know, some kids get involved with drugs and alcohol.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Right.
And there can be some rough times, and you do have to treat them like normal teens and not excuse that behavior, hold them to a standard. However, there may be some behaviors that come out of this for a while.
Sure.
And that they will get through. And
yeah,
you have to have faith that they'll get through.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. It's not 100%. All bereaved kids, you know, end up to being maladjusted adults. It's never that, you know, that simple. But, you know, sometimes, like you were saying, that's such a great point, that, you know, to have some limits, because, you know, because pitying these kids or feeling sorry for them gets them to sometimes feel like they're damaged or they need to be pitied, as opposed to, you know what, there's a part of you that is normal and healthy and is like everyone else. And limits can sometimes be reassuring that you care about me.
And I think for parents to say, look, this is a horrible thing we've had to go through. It's horrific, but we are going to get through this.
Right.
And we're not only going to survive as a family, we're going to thrive, and we're going to do it together. And it's going to be tough, but it's going to happen. We're going to survive this and heal.
Right, and kind of it's, you know, that old kind of saying, it's like you didn't necessarily, you know, look, we don't choose to be bereaved, but we can choose how to go about being bereaved and how we grieve. So you have choices about how you handle it, even when you didn't have a choice about what happened to you.
Well, and for those parents who are really newly bereaved out there, I'll have to say that just surviving the first year as a bereaved parent is hell. And, you know, you just hope you get through with your kids. And Heidi is my prime example that you can make it. And my other kids, they're doing great. And, you know, just have faith. And that's another thing about being around groups and going to someplace like Compassionate Friends, that you can go on and you can be in the group and give service to the group after, you know, 3 or 4 years even, because then, you know, you still have that belief and faith, you know, that it's all going to come through and that things will work out. And also, I think there's a tendency for we bereaved parents to lump everything in a big hole of bereavement. You know, any acting out by a child is due to the death of, you know, their dad or their sibling or whatever, mm-hmm. when in reality, maybe they would have done some testing and
right.
outlandish behavior anyway.
Because they're on that normal track, right, the normal track. And, you know, you also brought up something, you know, great, Glory, that how the parents are doing is so important that you don't realize sometimes how you're modeling how to go through this. So you were saying how hard it is just to get up every day sometimes. But you know what? That actually models and shows, you know, kids or spouses that, you know what, no matter how hard it is, I can still get through today. And that's a wonderful message. And I think parents also have to see that just how they're doing has such an impact and communicates volumes about their hope in that, you know, it may hurt today, it may hurt a little less tomorrow. And if not, I can still manage, and maybe the next day it will hurt a little less.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had someone actually ask me a question recently, and not an email, but it was interesting. It was someone who had a baby die many, many years ago, mm-hmm. and now has a couple of teenage boys. Mm-hmm. And he was talking, because of what we do on the show, he was talking about the death of this baby at age one with another marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, actually, it was a couple of weeks old, actually. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, have you ever told the boys about their sibling? And he was totally surprised and said no. And I had so many problems after that. And I said, you should tell them, because you've gotten through. Look at you now.
Right, right. And it's, you know, it's amazing. It just came up talking with some colleagues that there's often such relief from, as if there was a secret. And sometimes what happens is those siblings say, now so many things make sense to me.
Right.
Because, you know, there are those kind of other ways that people communicate about these things and that have happened that are so significant in their life.
And he's modeling, if he tells his kids, open communication after a loss and after a death.
Right.
Rather than, like you said, a secret.
Right. And it teaches them that, you know, you can tell me, you know, as your parent, anything. Nothing, you know, that life and death are both worthwhile to talk about and embrace and are part of what.
And I've got to say right now that these children that are living right now are being parented differently because their father lost his first child.
Right.
He is a different parent than he would have been had he not lost his first child.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point, and we never know how those things affect us and how we are a richer person and have more understanding and more empathy for
mm-hmm.
what's gone on in other people's lives and for our children.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's time for us to go to break in just a minute, and before we do, I wanted to ask you, got about a minute, how did you get on all these TV shows, the Today Show and Primetime and Oprah? And, what were you talking about?
I was going to ask you that on break, Mom.
Just, you know, coincidence. It was kind of coincidence when I was working someplace and they said, oh, you know, we need to, somebody to just talk about this facility at the cancer center when it was brand new. And I said, I've never done that. And they said, well, but you have to do this. And so then you do it once and somebody says, okay, you have to do it again. And so then, you know, after a while, you know, the idea of, I mean, it was certainly appealing to be able to give people information, you know, that they can really use and that can help them is just when you can help families one by one and then maybe help
and
them.
And that's what you've gone on to talk about is about families and loss and that kind
of
thing?
It depends or just, you know, parenting or relationships.
I'm really pleased to hear that because, you know, people are so adverse to hearing about loss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's great that, you know, you're able to go on and talk about this, that people actually entertain
it. I think since 9/11, people are more open. Do you? I mean, to talking about the topic of loss?
Well, because also they're so, you know, needy for, okay, how do I handle this? This is so outside of my, you know, my skill set. And, you know, it was Mr. Rogers, of course, who else has, you know, those great sayings, and he's the one that said, for kids, and actually about this topic, I believe it was, anything mentionable is manageable. Mm. So if you can talk about it, you can do something about it. And once it's out there, then once it's out of your imagination with all of those terrible, sometimes fantasies and thoughts and worries and fears, then you can really get somebody to help you with it.
That's great. Well, it's time for our final break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking to Robin F. Goodman about caring for kids after trauma and death. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular 2-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Dr. Robin Goodman about caring for kids after trauma and death. Welcome back to the show, Robin and Gloria.
Thanks.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, it's at our last break, and before we close the show, I want to again talk about the Billy Esposito Bereavement Center. If you're in Manhattan, if you're in the Manhattan area, they run these wonderful groups if a child has died, right, in the family?
No, as long as there's a bereaved child.
A bereaved child.
Yep, a bereaved child, and comes with caregiver, a parent, and yeah, meets with other families and other, you know.
And you have eight-week programs, and they're free.
Right, and we run it three times a year, so you know, there's always a place for someone to fit in, and we're here.
Okay, and how would they find this?
They just have to call us at 212-229-2273. It's actually 229-CARE, and we're also at acaringhand.org.
Great.
A Caring Hand, the Billy Esposito Foundation. So.
That's great, all the work you're doing. Well, I promise people we talk a little bit about your artwork and your art books and the 9/11. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, kids are, we know sometimes their language is not only just words. They sometimes communicate the most through their art and through their play and just through their images. And I think, you know, when kids are doing art or sculptures, we really get a window into what's in their imagination. And once it's out there, it's amazing how you can talk about it in a completely different way. You know, it's one thing to say that, you know, you saw a fire. It's another thing to see a picture where there's, you know, red and orange and yellow fire all over the whole page. Well, then the intensity of that experience starts to make a lot more sense. And then you can talk about that intensity or about those feelings. And also, if a child isn't drawing or doing something, then you wonder if maybe they're feeling too overwhelmed and need to avoid. And you know, sometimes in their art and their play, you can help them find solutions and create a different kind of a world and change things. And
I'm just thinking that our folks out there might want to really take a look at the art their kids are doing in school, and their art teachers might have some thoughts about it too.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, one thing you always want to be careful about, you know, it's like you don't want to jump to conclusions when you see a child's art. Sometimes it's just, you know, their intense feelings. But, you know, it's a great way to let kids express how they're feeling. So sometimes, you know, if a child isn't talking, just, you know, have them journal, have them do some artwork, sit down together and use puppets or get out some Play-Doh with a young child or Legos and, you know, build a sculpture. So it's really in that, you know, that kind of in-between area of their imagination and the reality that you can also start to help understand what's really going on for them.
So I love the idea. Go ahead.
If they're too overwhelmed with doing art, it sounds like you said there's other ways to connect with them around what they're going through, puppets, clay, et cetera, if they're feeling too overwhelmed to do the art.
Sure. Sometimes, you know, puppets are great for kids, and I'm a big fan of reading books. So you can ask a child, well, you know, what do you know about death or how you feel? And, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of get that blank or shrug the shoulders where you pull out a book about a pet that died or, you know, about heaven. And there's such great books for kids at different ages. It's a way to start a conversation or it's like, well, how about if you drew a picture about what you think heaven is like? So there's so many different ways that books can be used as a stimulus or kids can write their own books about, you know, what happened or, you know, illustrate a story about, you know, the person that died. So there's just so many ways that kids can use language and color and, you know, pair it with their own pictures that just, you know, really speak volumes to their experience.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Now, before we close the show, I wanted to ask you, how would parents know if their kid's in trouble after trauma? Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I think, you know, you have to think about the age of your child. So if it's, you know, younger child, are they regressing? Did they, you know, are they now going to the bathroom in their pants? Are they running to your bed every night? And is this going on for months and months? Or an older child, are they acting out and fighting more? Are they having problems in school? And sometimes you think it's they're not paying attention, and then maybe it's because their mind is so distracted by something terrible that they're thinking about the person that died, or an older person using drugs or hanging out. And also, you know, so those are kind of some obvious signs when it's going on, like, too long and too intense. But also sometimes if they're avoiding things, you want to pay attention to that. They're not playing baseball because it's too upsetting because Dad was the coach. Or, you know, they don't want to go to school because, you know, their sibling was at that school and then they don't like going by the locker anymore. Or they used to walk to school together and now that person's not there that was special to walk to school. So avoiding things and topics is sometimes a key to telling you they're trying to avoid those strong feelings. And avoiding them, just it piles up. It doesn't necessarily go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Robin, for your great advice and for being on our show. And it's time to close our show today. And, Robin, I wondered if there's something you might want to say to our audience as we close or some advice.
Well, just, I mean, I think, you know, talking about death and embracing it just is, you know, it's a part of life. And we all know that death may end a life, but it doesn't end a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a relationship with that person who died, and to keep the relationships going with the people in your own life and your family that can help you get through it. And making kind of new relationships sometimes with other bereaved people can make such a difference.
Yeah, thank you, Robin, and I'm sure it's been very helpful to all of our folks out there. It's time to close our show today, and we've been listening to Robin Goodman talk about caring for kids after trauma and death. Please stay tuned again next week when our guest will be Emily Lamon, bereaved mother of Daniel and editor of the book Our Children, Our Hearts, Journeys of Children, Loss and Remembrance, and Dr. Joan Cacciatore, bereaved mother of Cheyenne and founder of MISS Foundation, dedicated to providing crisis support and long-term aid to families after the death of a child. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website, and it's brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific, 12 Eastern Standard Time for more of the Healing the Grieving Heart. Remember, others have been there and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. Robin, thank you for devoting your life to helping families heal and giving them hope again after the death of a loved one.
Oh, my pleasure, and I'm so grateful for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.